Hey guys, what's up? And welcome to the Pondering Nerdcast. This is episode 93. We're almost to 100. And when we get there, we're probably not going to do anything special, but whatever. It'll be all good. Yay.
We could go find a cookie cake somewhere.
Get a cookie cake?
Yeah.
I want a cookie cat.
We can get a cookie cat.
From Steven Universe.
That's what I want. Yeah.
That's what I want. Yeah. So here
that's
going
to be real hard to find.
I'm sure somebody's got to be able to make it.
You can get a cookie puss or whatever that thing is from Culver's.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds
we do have that, don't they?
Dirtier than it is.
Yeah. So here with me tonight is Jody Callahan.
Hello, everyone.
Dwayne Samuels.
What's up, peoples?
And brand new member, Cortrice, I don't know your last name.
Jones,
okay.
Nice to meet you guys.
There's a cookie cake in the mail
for you.
Let's
get the hand in there.
Yeah. Yay!
And I forgot to log into our stuff to get the stuff.
He's on his rookie days right now.
We're at the Brick Studios and what we're doing this year. So if you hear a different way of how things sound, it's why we're here. So
in beautiful downtown Brooklyn.
We are live.
Something like that. Not really. Maybe.
So you will hear some mistakes.
We're raw right now. That's what it is. We're raw.
Real raw.
Yeah. So hopefully this comes out well. We have to complain to people like, your shit ain't working, man. So to get started, we're going to start off with some tech stuff here. If I remember correctly, you want to talk about a bipartisan bill about pretty much net neutrality and how they are trying to form, well, the bill states is trying to say it's like, regardless of what Ajit Pai and the FCC has done to remove the restrictions on net neutrality, they're saying that there are going to be these laws passed at the state level to ensure that, you know, these companies practice net neutrality for its consumers, because it's traditionally seen as a very anti-competitive thing for customers.
Yeah.
Not anti-competitive, anti-consumer. That should be the word, right? Yes, anti-consumer. And this particular bill is like saying they're trying to, well, I guess there's a penalties that's in place for it, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know what the penalties are, because I think right now it's just a discussion, like a proposal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's not out yet. It's proposed.
Yeah. So, it's. I mean, it's not the first time I've heard of something like this being popped up, because I believe California said that's what they were going. They stated that the state government said that any ISP that's going to operate within their state has to practice net neutrality, or you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a pretty bold stance. What do you think about it? You know?
Yeah. It is.
And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I think New York City said they were going to, well, New York State said they were going to also enforce the same thing.
But I don't know. I feel like these bills, they come about and then they just get shot down. And
yeah.
We're back in the same place.
Right where we started.
Yep.
I also didn't know that anything the FCC ruled would need state approval like I thought it would.
I believe that's the case. I think it's the way they framed it or they tried to do it was like they're saying no state law can oversee the federal law, which is, you know, because that was what was put in place in 2015 was like it was like a guideline, really. It wasn't really a law per se, more like a policy. And their claim back then was that it can be very anti-consumer if companies were allowed to not only control the flow of information and how fast you may get something versus them selling your information for, like, you know, money or whatever the case may be.
Right.
It's like all these things that could be detrimental to you as a consumer or anyone, say, for specifically, like, if you wanted to start up your own internet company that's heavily reliant on people coming online, but you don't have enough money to pay for Verizon's top tier.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the top tier. Oh, right. You know, you pay this much, you get 20,000 hits a day or some shit like that. You know, that's what they were trying to prevent. Versus whereas internet is open, you know, you get it how you get it and go back.
Do what you gotta do.
It's all about money in the end. That's what it is.
It sounds like it's basically the Facebook ad model.
Pretty much, yeah. If you don't have 10
seen,
grand.
If you want exposure, then...
It's the same thing like with the recent changes with Instagram, right? I've been hearing a lot lately that you get better exposure on Instagram than you do on Facebook ads, because for some they change their algorithm. Now it's no longer chronological on Instagram. It's kind of like what they think you want to see.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's like, so if you like a whole bunch of stuff, or then it'll show up. Like certain things that you've already seen will show up. I might like that. I might like these shoes. Right. Who knows?
So it's like, it's a little weird model in how they're trying to go about this. I don't know how much swing a state government would have over ISP, because it's kind of like you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of situation. It'd be kind of cool if each state could be like, nah, we doing it in the tribal laws here or not.
Right.
You know, so.
It would be cool because you'd have a solid study on how good that would work.
Other
states that didn't, when they're fucked because they can't, local businesses can't sell on the internet, or people in those rural towns can't buy off the internet.
Right.
Versus New York, when we're buying and selling everything. Like,
yeah, but I think that's why they don't want to do that. They don't want states to be like, oh, I want to do net neutrality and I don't want to do it. Because then we'd see, like, can you really do that? Or are you going to fail?
Right. Yeah. Because I agree. That would be a really cool case study to see that. Because, I mean, that's their whole beef, right? They're like, oh, well, the internet was fine without net neutrality. Mm-hmm. There was never a problem,
And,
There's been all these, like, different companies that's been doing, like, I think there's a Burger King commercial. Oh, no, not a commercial. It's like a video they made. And they were showing people, like, it's like, oh, if you pay an extra $20, I can get you your food faster. Versus, because you pay for the slow lane burger versus the fast lane burger. And because a lot of people don't know what net neutrality is or how it is important to them. How I explained to my mother, she's always hitting me up. She's like, oh, can I make YouTube faster? I'm like, I don't own YouTube. I can't.
I wish I could, but I can't.
It'll be awesome. But, I'm trying to explain to, like, my mother what bandwidth is, she don't get it. Unless I explain to, whereas like the whole, you have a pipe, you have a big pipe, this amount of water comes out, you have a smaller pipe, but if you have a big pipe, then you make a smaller one in and it trickles out. It's like, that's like the easiest way I can explain what.
Well, I mean, you gotta be.
That's way better than, I looked it up on Wikipedia and I was like, what the hell is this?
It can be kind of confusing.
Well, I'm just saying that people don't use the internet a lot. The internet lock is gonna be like, they gonna really care or worry about net neutrality unless you really, like you said, break it down to them, like, what, because people, when you hear it, like, the beginning when I first heard about it, I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I'm serious. I was like, what the hell is this? I'm just going in and just looking at stuff. Then when I found more about it, and then I was watching CNN, and then the guy broke it down to me about what would happen if they stopped all that stuff. It would be like, we could always use Facebook as an example, like, if Facebook wants to load faster, they got to pay more money for this to load faster. Where, and then say if another Instagram don't want to pay money, then they'll take forever to load, even though your speed could be the highest.
Yeah.
It's
like internet fast lanes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In a way, the only company I know that actually violated net neutrality this whole time was T-Mobile, believe it or not, because were prioritizing what they were doing. I mean, technically, they don't slow you down. There is I believe it's $80 plan or something like that. Mm-hmm. You have unlimited, and they don't actually cap you or anything like that. But what they were doing was they were saying, like, for the lower plans, that, oh, well, you can watch Netflix at DVD quality unlimited. So pretty much they were prioritizing the traffic for those lower paying customers so it doesn't impact their data. Mm. So even though they were like on a 6 gig plan, it would never hit their 6 gigs because they would just watch it, but it would be at a lower quality.
Oh, okay.
So that's like a violation of net neutrality. Whereas, like,
right, which it actually sounds like they were trying to.
They try to do
help
it anyway.
Out. No,
they were trying to help because for us, the consumer is like, oh, word, I can listen to iHeartRadio all the time and it doesn't even impact my stuff.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Like, I listen to it at MP3 quality and I'll be fine with it. Or it's just that. But if you look at, like, the technical stuff behind it, it is a violation.
Yeah. The nice thing they were doing was
They made it consumer friendly.
Not unlawful, but.
Yeah, the uncarrier, whatever. Yeah. It's like, so in a way, it was like, okay, I guess. Thanks.
Yeah.
Whatever. But a lot of people don't see it that way. They don't really understand. And I guess this is why there's a bipartisan bill, which is, I guess, Republicans are starting to understand. Oh, wait. So this would impact my porn.
Or, no, but they passed a bill about that, right? In Florida, they're like.
Oh, yeah. They were like, they were trying to go back and forth about what would be considered fast internet access versus not and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because any way you try to slice it, net neutrality is good for everyone, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. It's like it will help you less if you don't have it.
Right.
Because it's not like these politicians, you know, contrary to what people have heard, a politician as just a job does not pay a lot. They get money from outside entities to get, you know, that's why so many of them have so much money now is because they do a lot of favors with other companies and lobbyists and stuff like that.
Lobbyists.
But it's like, regardless of how much money they may have, and because I've seen a number of politicians get on live streams, like Facebook Live, Periscope, whatever, to reach out to their constituents, like Twitter and stuff like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even Facebook has another section that we can actually go and get in touch with your congresspeople that's local in your area. There's a literal section called your government or your local government or stuff like that. So it's beneficial to them as well so that you can have the unlimited access you need because it's the fastest way. Even our president does it. He uses it to our own detriment, but he's like, even he says it. He's like, I need to have access to the people without a mouthpiece. He's like, you know, that's why.
Right. You know, he doesn't want to put money into it. I think that was right.
But he wants to be able to use it freely as
the lifeline is what you're talking about. The lifeline budget.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I don't know. So hopefully this bill does some real change and we'll see how that works out in the coming months. But if you want to, in the meantime, do some protesting, that's coming up this week. Apparently Reddit, Tumblr will be doing a net neutrality protest where you can bombard your local lawmakers with telephone calls and emails. I think it's emails. Yeah. Can you do emails?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. So apparently Burger King is getting in on this as well. They're calling it the One More Vote protest. So... great.
I like the segue, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a great segue.
Professional podcasting. So apparently you can just join up through, we'll link it in our show notes so you can follow along to, you know, well, by the time this comes out, the protest would already started, which is because we're recording this on the 26th, so it starts tomorrow. So this comes out on Friday. I guess follow us on Twitter and then you can probably see it there. We'll tweet it out or something like that. So pretty much they're protesting against the FCC vote to remove neutrality. So you can call your local congressperson to get them on the side of net neutrality to go in and, like, you know, because those are the people who are going to form this bill and try to go after the FCC and stuff like that.
Say they only really need one more vote.
Right.
So that there can actually be a repeal for it.
Yeah, to turn it over, to actually go back into discussion for the public and whatnot. So just do that, people. Next up, some film news. So this one is not so much about the movie Annihilation. So if you don't know what that is, it's a sci-fi movie. I believe it's out now. You can go watch it in all the things.
Theaters.
The theaters and whatnot. Now, what's interesting about it is the deal that Netflix made with Paramount. Now, a bit of backstory, not with Netflix on Paramount or anything like that, but I'm sure you guys, I don't know if you guys remember this, but ever since streaming became like such a pervasive part of our culture when it comes to consuming content, it has been thought of like some directors has come together like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we released the movie in theaters and then release it on a streaming platform? So.
Yeah.
And I believe at the time it was, you know, movie theaters was like, nah, fuck that.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah, because they're like, you know, we're the only place that you are going to see this movie.
Right.
And also they enjoy selling tickets.
Yeah.
There's tickets, popcorn, overpriced popcorn
and candy and whatnot.
Because we're all in New York City. So I would say if you were to go on a date to the movie theater, it's roughly $60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like for just that, just mm-hmm. for the movie. Not a ticket for the movie, but it's like, depending on if it's 3D, RPX, or some sort of fancy theater.
A 4D in a Times Square.
You got a thing just spritz at you in the face.
Yeah, yeah, that's a horrible. I did that, and that like was just smell-o-vision. Smell-o-vision. It was a horrible feeling.
You talking about the seats?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the rumbling seats?
It was like
seats?
A roller coaster, but it just felt so overplayed.
Have you tried out the 4D?
I did. I remember I liked it. It was the Jungle Book, the live action
Jungle
Book.
Oh, you saw
Book.
The Jungle yeah. Book? I saw Dark Towers, and that was just ridiculous, right? It was bad.
I mean, I can see where it would. I know this is completely off subject because now we're talking about 4D.
I know. I mean, like, it kind of ties in.
Massage chairs in a theater. For the Dark Tower, I could see how it would be discomforting or awkward.
Yeah, because I kept getting stabbed in the shoulder like yeah. a billion times, and I was like, what the hell is this?
The back of your chair would just want to jab you.
But for like the Jungle Book, just when you see like a herd of something, like you would just feel like a rumble, like they're still over there. It's not like...
Oh, okay. You were like violently jerked around.
Right,
like,
it wasn't set up that like they were coming at me and like now I'm under stress and physical duress.
That sounds stressful.
It felt like I was physically running, like that chair was moving and I was like, oh God.
Because that was the only time I'd done it, so I guess it depends on the movie that you see.
It must be. Yeah. I didn't think the Dark Tower would actually be that physically.
I didn't either. I thought like, oh, this is not going to be anything. We're just going to be sitting here and, you know, it's going to be a little bit of something. But no.
Oh,
that was
okay.
I was getting stabbed in the back.
Rumble.
Water was being spritzed at me. And I was like, I don't, what? What is this?
I didn't have any. We didn't have any.
No water spritz at you?
And there's tons of water in.
Yeah, I heard that's a part of the 4D now. Yeah. Like, for some of them, not everyone. But it's an interesting concept. But all that to say is going to the movies is very profitable for the movie theaters and the movie studios. So it's like it makes a lot of sense. But whereas now what you're saying is, you know, if you're home, let's say the next Avenger movie comes out, which is Infinity Wars. How much money would they make versus them just releasing it simultaneously and streaming versus just a movie theater? Because it's like right now, most of those movies make, what, $1 billion within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or something like that. So just imagine, like, all that being cut in half was like, oh, I just stay at home, watch it on Netflix.
If you use Avengers example, that's not, I mean, they'll still make their money because people still want that movie experience.
True. Because I can see, because one of the solutions was, you wouldn't get it on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that. You would get it on YouTube or one of those, or Vudu, and you would pay $30 just to view that movie because it was in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I thought that was a better concession in a way, like, okay, that makes sense. It's like, it should cost me $30 to stream this movie that's in the theaters right now. And that way, because $30 is like two tickets, you know, because if you have a family of four, you spend $30. It's like, you know, that saves you a lot of money. But at the same time, it makes them money at the same time.
But the theaters still lose out on money for that. That was kind of the bigger
picture.
And they had a lot more leverage in the beef with
Because they're, you know, really big distributors. So if they don't make money, then, you know, it's...
It also depends if movies are in 3D, IMAX, you know, all that other stuff.
Yeah, I remember that. Remember that, 3D TVs?
Yeah. I still got mine.
Glasses.
And I think that's where the whole 3D theory was kind of born out of that idea. It just didn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't really, you know.
It didn't catch on as it should have. But, you know,
yeah.
Because Avatar was expensive as fuck.
It was.
Yes.
Production can shoot in 3D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that movie was shot specifically in 3D. Like, new technology and new cameras were built.
Didn't he make...
He made...
Technology just for that movie.
Right. Because here's the thing about Avatar. Everything that we saw in that movie, they all do it now.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron innovated that look, innovated that type of technique and technology that went forward. A lot of people didn't like Avatar, but didn't matter.
Really?
There's a lot of people that don't like Avatar.
Like, I mean, there's backlash to anything that most people like.
True. Yeah, because it was new. It was different. People were just like, you know, I mean, it was Fern Gully in space, but that's
neither here nor there. Oh, that's great. There. Someone actually acknowledges it. Because everybody's like, oh, it's a new movie.
It's not. It's Dances and Wolves in space.
Yeah, I was space. Like, yeah. Come on.
It's people going to colonize another planet, whatever. But with this movie, Annihilation, Paramount made a deal with Netflix where it was like, hey, we'll give you X amount of dollars. Also, we had rights to stream it on our platform exclusively while it's in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Internationally.
Internationally, yeah. Because I don't think it's here available in the U.S. just yet.
It's not. You have to go to theaters. It's only in theaters in the U.S.
Right, because they released it in over 2,000 theaters so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not making a lot of money. It's doing really bad. Because they did the same deal with Star Trek Discovery.
But this movie, so worldwide, Netflix is going to have the rights to stream it.
Yeah,
yes, right now. So you don't have to go see the movie because Paramount is losing out on that worldwide box office draw they could have gotten. But because the movie is not doing so well domestically, it probably wouldn't have done well
worldwide. Yeah, that's what they were saying.
Either. So Netflix is saving their butt by giving them some money.
Yeah, because they already got their money. They probably got back part of their production budget already. So it's like that's all studios really care about in the, with any because. Annihilation is, I think, it's based off of a sci-fi book, if I'm not mistaken. And I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what it's about exactly. I just seen trailers. It looks interesting because I'm a sci-fi guy. So it's like, but it's like, this might be the going forward for like things that studios don't believe would actually sell.
Well, not much.
But
go ahead.
That's what they were saying though, because it was like what. Annihilation and then Mother, that weird.
Oh, that,
and then Downsizing. But it's like all these indie films are being put in like Netflix overseas because it's not doing well here. So, and that's in theaters. So they have to do it, you know, overseas and they want to get their money back. So they're like, well, you know, let's just put it in, you know, Netflix.
Well, and also they're trying to maybe respond to what I find myself doing, which is, if I'm going to see a big blockbuster movie, a spectacle movie like Black Panther or any MCU movie, I want to go to the theater and see that on a giant screen, everything in my face, the popcorn, the whole nine. However, something much smaller like an Annihilation fits in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small budget movie. It's $30 million, which it's an independent range. Yeah. I mean, it's made by a studio, but that kind of movie, that indie movie, is going to wind up at your indie house theaters.
Yeah, which aren't a lot of.
Right, and they're going to be put on a small enough screen where I'm thinking my 55-inch at home.
It might be a little bit better.
Or, yes, and this isn't a movie where I need to be like, this is a story-driven movie where I need to be engaged and think. So it's not just me sitting back going, wow, look at that giant thing, and he's flying over there. It's, I don't know, learning about real life and the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
I want the more meditative, sitting in my room, study the movie that's worth studying for those reasons, which is like an indie, in-depth thinker, intellectual movie would
garner.
No, I agree.
But
and I think this is leading toward maybe true indie. Their next level is going to be streaming.
I think so. I think it makes more sense to...
Or on a service was what I mean.
Because look at what happened with the recent movie, Paradox. Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm.
They released the last set of movies in theaters.
It did, two movies, yeah.
Right. They did well, but not gangbusters. Because it's attached to J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Usually what's ever attached to his name is like, holy shit, lens flare, it's going to make so much money.
He knows I'll do a trailer. I'll tell you that
exactly.
Much.
So it's like, and it seems like ever since they started this whole thing with Cloverfield, you don't know when the next one is going to come out. It just kind of drops and you don't know what's going on. It's like, okay. And
sometimes there's promotions, sometimes not.
There's not. Yeah. You kind of have to be in the know in a way.
Yeah.
So it's like that dropped on Netflix the same day. There was a trailer.
The same day as the Super Bowl. Right. I looked at the trailer and I was
like
what?
So mind you, here's what happened. Like a lot, how much does it cost to have a trailer or an ad spot on Super Bowl? It's like $30 million, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. So from what I understand about when it comes to big budget movies and when you're advertising it, I believe your budget is around 30 to 32 million. So if you only have to spend that once to a crowd of millions, you kind of make your money back in a way. Because then everybody rushes over. It's like, oh, brand new sci-fi movie on Netflix I can watch right after the Super Bowl? Great.
Yeah.
It's like,
and Netflix is on a roll right now, so they would only have to advertise it themselves on their service.
And it doesn't have to deal with any sort of future reviews.
Right.
It's just kind of as is. Yeah. And it doesn't matter because Netflix doesn't reveal their numbers to anyone. Like, they're just like, well, I'm not going to. Well, it's doing well.
They shouldn't have to.
I mean, exactly. So
and if you want to know how well, if you want to know the numbers, just keep in mind that you and everybody you know
watched it
is on Netflix.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Or you're sharing somebody's
account.
Right.
Or, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's like almost like a safeguard for your money in a way. And I can see a lot of indie films just doing that. And there are some initiatives out there with like indie streaming platforms, not very good ones, but they're trying.
Well, you gotta understand that there are some countries out there that don't even have movie theaters.
True.
That's
and
true.
And if you have, because all you really need is 3G on your phone or something like that, and you can stream Netflix. Like, you know, it may not be in the best quality, but at least you can get it and start watching something.
But I mean, it's sad though, in a way, you know.
It is. But
like, indie movies aren't gonna be in theaters. It's like, you know, those names, you know, you might have. You know, you might have gotten away with like a brand new film director, but at least you know something. Eventually, he might make something else, and so you know he will get bigger and bigger. And so, well, you know, but now it's just like
nobody's
going to the theater.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried because what happened Get Out, like for instance, Get Out.
Yeah,
that's an independent movie. What would happen if it just kind of went to streaming?
Mm-hmm.
Like, would that bode well for Jordan Peele?
Jordan Peele.
Would that bode well for his career as a director versus him, like, because it seems
being
like
able to get it out in theaters.
In theaters. Yeah. Like,
it would bode well for him as a director, certainly. It would not bode well, or it would not do well for him in his pockets, like having a theater release.
Right. Yeah. Now I make no money.
Like, because Netflix would have probably bought it or bought the rights on spec, and they probably wouldn't expect it.
For it to blow up, and then when it blows up, he's not going to get a lot.
Would have handed him a couple.
Everybody starts somewhere. That's the thing. Like, even though, let's say, if it did go straight to streaming, it will get seen. Because just like you always have the independent film. Was it the independent film movie theaters? You have those that show independent films. You have the cable channels that show the stuff. Like, that's how a lot of these people get picked up. I mean, we may not watch the credits to see, like, oh, when it goes, oh, this person directed this to the producer.
Right.
We just get up and leave it. But, you know, the people who always write scripts and all that, they look at these people like, oh, that was a good movie. I wonder who directed it. So they will toss them all these stuff. They will watch them. So they will eventually get picked. But like he said, the money won't be there, but the exposure will be there from.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. So I'm still worried by all of it. I feel like, well, then again, when you think about it, for the history of independent films, it's always been just the darlings that would pop up every now and then. Every year, there's like one. It was like, here's this one really great indie movie, and then it takes off.
I mean, there's a whole bunch, but you know, you'll never see it. So
exactly, like for instance, the director that did The Last Jedi, he's an indie director.
Mm-hmm.
Like his last movie was Looper before that. So imagine that. It's like Looper, $200 million film.
Yep.
I would shit my pants very quickly. I'll still take the job, but I'm going to shit my pants.
Oh,
But he got a chance because, I mean,
they
probably saw some of his movies, probably liked one probably a couple of his movies that he directed to see certain stuff he did and then picked him over to do that. So as I say, the exposure, that's what it all comes down to.
I thought it was a big risk in my opinion.
Those are,
because not a lot of people liked Looper. Looper is very, there was a...
I liked it.
I mean, I loved it. I thought it was pretty cool.
He had the right actors. That's the thing too. That also makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because those are big time actors. What's his name? At that time was blowing up.
Jordan Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah. He was blown up. As a matter of fact, I think he directs too. He's an entrepreneur. Yeah. He does a lot.
And he actually has an indie film platform.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Press record or something like that.
When you surround yourself with like all those people, they look like, oh, we may not be that good, but hey, these guys worked with him, so he must have, he must know something, knowledge about something, so that's why he gets the exposure.
It's just, I mean, for a studio of that size to just come to somebody like him, I mean, he did very well in the box when it comes to box office. Like, he made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
And he probably worked well with the producers, and the producers let the other producers know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He seems like, from, I've heard an interview recently with him when he's like, he actually told them he got to think about it when he was offered. That's like, who tells Lucasfilms,
I have to think about it.
So can I like sleep on this for a week and I get back to you guys? It's like, but at the same time, I respected him for that. That means they were like, okay, cool.
A move like that is guaranteed to make money regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah but. It's just the whole thing of like.
It can also kill your franchise, like the first prequels.
Yeah. You have to be very careful.
It'll kill him. Nobody working him again, but you'll still make some money.
You know, he said he got a lot of. He had to turn off his Twitter for a little bit because people were just hate.
Ryan Johnson?
Yeah, the director. He was like, this is. But he came back, but at the same time, he'd actually shut down some trolls here and there and whatnot. Yeah. They were like, we never seen. Well, we're talking about something else. But anyway.
Right.
but anyway, to say, I'm worried about the future of indie films. Mm-hmm. If it's just a numbers game, that's kind of sad now. Because indie films are the ones that push forward the industry. Yeah. So it's like you push forward that sort of storytelling concepts and not so much technology, but just the story, like how to engross you into a story.
Yeah, that's where we get the most like new ideas for a movie. So, and if there are no new ideas, we end up just living in.
We're just gonna do another reboot of reboot. Have you guys seen that? That was terrible. God,
how many Batmans and Spidermans were there?
Oh, God,
and then there will be more.
There will be more.
There are more on Netflix.
So to finish up our show here, we're gonna talk about Black Panther. So
I haven't seen it. I don't know if we're going to talk about
Star Wars. I'm not gonna
spoil anything. But we're going to talk
seen either,
more.
So don't worry, Jody. Yeah. Opposite day, but really? I haven't seen either.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're just going to talk more about what the movie means for movie theaters, because this is also in line with the last topic, where according to this article by Vanity, Variety. They're claiming that a bunch of movie theater owners are asking for more diverse superhero movies because of what Black Panther has done box office wise. And it has broken records before it came out. It's broken records when it came out. It's broken records the second week.
Yep.
We predict it's
going
to be $1 billion by next week. Even by the end of run, it will probably be $1 billion+.
Mm-hmm.
And because for a long, long time, I'm sure we've all heard this. Oh, women-led movies can't sell. Oh, all black or all Asian or all yada minority movie can't sell.
Overseas
and stuff like that. What about China? I was like, you don't know nothing about China because obviously they love it. It's like, so it's like this movie has proven that, not even just this movie, but that coupled with Wonder Woman from last year, right? Combined has, I believe, if you were to combine Wonder Woman's money that it made in its run versus where Black Panther is right now, which is around $700 million, I'm sure it's over $1 billion at this point. And it does show that to these theater owners and also to theater goers and the studios.
Hopefully executives.
Yeah, these people who sit there and gatekeep these things that, hey, maybe we should tap into these other things that we have. Because it's not like there hasn't been a bunch of quote unquote minority characters in comic books for years.
Right.
So
yeah, they're there.
The stories are there and they're just as fantastic as any other Iron Man story there is. So why not?
It's all about taking chances, and they took their chance. I mean our personal opinion is like it just took so long for this to happen. And
so
then,
damn long.
Yeah, it took a little time, but only so gripe I have is like, why it has to be like, on a make believe character? Why could this be like, something like a, I don't know, maybe what they call this, like drama type movies or
a dramatization.
It has to be like on a comic book character to really get the exposure and things like this, because the director is a good director. I seen Creed, Fruitvale Station, seen bits and pieces, but he's a good director.
I think with this, with Black Panther and what Black Panther represents as a comic book character and for people who are within that community, it's like, finally, there's a character that represents kingship, royalty, power, you know, infallibility, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. It's not the butler, the maid, a slave, or something like that. It's like, oh, I am a king. I run this shit.
Yeah.
I am very powerful, yada, yada, yada. So it's like, people have always been saying for a very long time, representation is very important.
Oh, yeah.
So to see a character like this on the big screen this time around, I mean, I believe there was supposed to be one back in the 90s with Wesley Snipes, but it never got off the ground. Yeah. I don't think it would have done well.
Yeah, I such an article.
It probably wouldn't have done well. But what I'm saying is, like, now more than ever, these type of iconic characters need to be put on the big screen because there are people who more identify with them than they do with a Tony Stark or a Superman mm-hmm. or a Batman or stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, people like to see themselves represented on screen. So it makes sense. Like, it had to start somewhere. It had to be somebody that had to hit that mark and say, look, we are profitable just like everybody else. You just need to take the bold step and say, hey, I'm going to apply the same shellac that I did to the last Avenger movie and apply it to this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem?
I was going to say the Asian countries that went through it with Bruce Lee and stuff, how they got represented to always being like a delivery guy mm-hmm. and always talking to they with their strange accent, with the accent.
Chu Man Fu accent, that sort of thing.
So they went through their stuff until, you know, Jet Li and all them, Bruce Lee and all them, they started coming over and do their movies.
Because I believe there was a recent movie that came out, it was an all-Asian cast, and everybody got upset, like a lot of white people got upset for some reason.
Wait, is it recent?
Yes.
Was it Great Wall?
No, it wasn't a Great Wall. Everybody hated that movie. But
yeah,
there was an all-Asian cast movie.
Oh, are you talking Full Metal Alchemist?
No. Attack of the Titan. The live-action movie of that was all-Asian cast. There was not one white
person. But even, is it?
Yeah.
And white people got upset.
There was a lot of white people.
Some of the characters are not Asian. It's supposed to be a mixture.
Well, that's the thing, because in the book, in the manga, and in the anime, I believe the people who was inside of the wall and everything, they're like European descent, I believe. And I believe there's only like one Japanese girl, which is the sister to the main character.
But so, I mean, it's Japanese though. The writer and everybody is Japanese. I mean, so you might as well just make them Japanese.
Everybody was
You can't wear both ways. So sometimes when they always say like, how Hollywood calls them when they always put a white actor that's playing a different
whitewashing.
Race. Oh, right. Whitewashing.
So it goes both ways. So we get mad when they say whitewashing. So we can't get mad if another race says, why are they doing this? So it's both ways there.
I wasn't even mad
because the movie, I saw the movie, it's not that good. But the same thing, it's like it was like, okay, this is, they're moving forward because it's an Asian production story. Mm-hmm. It comes out from an Asian studio. So it kind of makes sense.
Also, whitewashing is about underrepresentation of other
minorities.
Right. Not,
it's not like
they can't cry out like, we don't have enough.
We don't have
representation.
A white,
like, we don't have any white heroes in movies.
Yeah, like,
it doesn't really make sense.
You know, there are like people who's like, where's my Pink Panther? It's like, come on.
Yeah, it would be like, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, black people always get movies and, you know, they've got this movie. It's not like there are white movies out there and it's like, well, come on now. And there are white movies out there.
Yeah,
look what Idris Elba said about his character in Thor when they were like, why isn't he white?
Because he's
and his basically, like, it's a make-believe, play-pretend world.
Nobody's
got to be anything.
Yeah,
you can change. And, you know, that's a lot of that happens in comic book movies where it's like they would change up something about a character.
Yeah.
Like Tilda Swinton was changed. Like, she was supposed to play the Asian one, which was supposed to be an Asian guy. But, you know, the way they wrote the story for the screenplay for that movie was like, oh, well, anybody can be the ancient one.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really have to be specifically an Asian person.
Right.
By the way,
Asian people got upset about that.
Yes, a lot of Asian people got upset about that. Because it's like, because in the comic books, it's been canon for years.
Yes, that he is
the
Asian.
Ancient one is Asian.
I think my only beef with, what's the name of that movie? Talking about that magic man.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. Calling that magic man. What I don't like about it, even if Tilda Swinton wasn't in it, and it was a proper ancient Asian man. It's still like what white people kind of do in movies, like Tom Cruise in Last Samurai, Matt Damon, whatever. Like they go to these people.
Insert themselves,
learn their ways, and then do it better and win the day.
Yes.
Yeah, which is always a, like with somebody who's been there for eons studying.
You don't think that they can do it?
Right, bro, you just showed up. What the f***? Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like Danny Rand and Kung Loon. It's like, you know, it's like, I just, you know, I'm 14. I've got to be in the next.
I watched that one. God. The whole thing.
Don't watch Iron Fist. It's terrible.
It was actually really funny.
It's funny. It's like I laughed because I was hurting inside. Because it's just God. It's so bad. But you know, all this to say, it's like representation of diverse characters, diverse cast, and stuff like that. Even the people who work behind the camera is important too.
Yeah.
Yes, Matt Damon. It is important. I remember seeing your comment on that stupid ass show of yours talk about, oh, we only need the cast for the people in front of the camera, not behind. I was like, really? Really,
bro? I didn't know he said that.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's on HBO. You can go watch the whole thing.
A whole bunch of really
we don't need to put black people behind the camera. I was like, and he's saying this to a black director that was sitting in the. It's very interesting.
Like asking a question.
But it's important in front and behind the camera because you do, then you get to inform because. I do a little bit. I haven't made any films or anything, but I've worked on shows and whatnot. So it's like I've seen that. So I've seen it happen. I've heard stories. I've seen things about Wilson.
Yeah, and, but you know, it's like if you have a black director or a black writer, then their experience will shine through.
Yeah,
and then
it shows
you know,
on it shows on film.
Yeah, there's a different way of seeing life.
Yeah,
and you know, black people. White people, Asians, anybody has a different way of life, you know?
Yeah.
We don't all share the same experiences. And so to bring it on screen, it's really nice to see.
Yeah, because
Personal vision of each different person. What? A personal vision of each different person. Like,
Like
if you direct it now, you're showing what you want from, you know, your experiences, your life.
Yeah.
Lance, Jody, and myself, we all, like I said, it'd just be something completely out there.
Right. Everybody have a different perspective on how you tell the story, you know. But
we've only got it from one perspective for a really long time.
So and now it's beginning to change, and I'm happy about that. So we can get better storytelling going forward.
Change is good.
But anyway, we should wrap it up. They're trying to kick us out of the studio, but yeah. Anyway, so don't forget to check out the Pondering Nerdcast on GamingRebellion.com. You can find the bulk of our shows there, all the past episodes and everything like that. Check out their community. Check out their really cool articles and whatnot. Every day they come up with something new. You can also find the show on the Gifted Sounds Network as well. So you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. And also on TuneIn Radio. We just got on there. So if you have the TuneIn Radio app, it's free. Listen up. You know, so that's pretty cool. So until next time, guys, we appreciate you guys for listening. Bye for now.
Later.
Bye. Later.